سورة الفاتحة. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا عبد القاسم محمد. الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ألم أعهد إليكم يا بني آدم أن لا تعبدوا الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين وأن اعبدوني هذا صراط مستقيم. صلوات على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد.
Subject is shaitan, and the means and tricks that he uses to deceive mankind. And we are discussing about the qualities of shaitan. The second quality that we discussed about yesterday, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning in the Quran, is the fact that shaitan, whenever he has to face his enemy, he does not fight face to face with his enemy, but instead he fights with those who are innocent and takes revenge against those who are innocent. His fight was with Adam, so he should have fought Adam. But he's saying that I will take revenge not against Adam, but from the children of Adam. From the children of Adam, I'll take revenge. And when you see, we are the children, what did we do to shaitan? Why is he taking revenge from us? This is the way of shaitan. That shaitan, he takes his anger out on those who are innocent, those who have nothing to do with him. And he has made it clear that we are his enemies, and he's out there to kill us and to destroy us. Just one thing here about our own souls, we see that a lot of times this quality of shaitan is found in many people. And there are a lot, even amongst mu'mineen you will see this, amongst Muslims you will see this. For example, I have an argument with a brother. Now, the brother happens to be a board member in the masjid. Now, because I have an argument with him, now, who am I going to take this out on? The masjid. I say, you know, I don't want to come to the masjid anymore. The center doesn't belong to him. It's not mine, it's not yours. The center belongs to Allah, the center belongs to the Imam of the time. This is his house. It doesn't belong to anyone. But you see what happens? Is that mu'mineen, instead of trying to solve their problems with the person they have a problem with, they take it out on the imam. And they say, well, I'm not going to come to the imam's house anymore. What did the imam do to you? What did Allah do to you? Why are you taking out on them? You see, understand this. This is shaitan's path. And you have that you have an issue with someone, right, and you take it on someone else. This is the way that we see shaitan's qualities are found in us. We need to see that when we have an issue with someone, who are we taking it out on? I'm angry, so who do I take this anger out on? My friends, understand this. If we have a problem with the imam, then don't come to the imam's house. If you say, you know what, I don't like Allah, I don't like the Imam, so okay, you know what, I don't come to his house. But this is his house. This is not my house, your house, or the board member's house. It's not theirs. If you read the constitution of every Islamic center, it says this is the property of the Imam Mahdi. Ajallallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
This is Allah's house. And hence, a mu'min is that even if he has an issue with someone in the masjid, but he will never leave the masjid because he is looking at Allah and he is looking at pleasing Allah. This is the path of Iman. That is the path of Shaitan. And this is something that we need to understand, how Shaitan's qualities are permeated in us. Now we need to understand that. Hey, listen, this is Allah's house. If I don't come, it's not I have an animosity with him, I'm showing animosity with Allah or the Imam of the time. And it also does happen, just one more point I'll make over here, and we'll see. Right? And this has happened a lot, right? Now in your masjid I see, you know, that you don't have, now here you don't have the speech online live. Right? There's no live speech online, which is good. Right? But many places I do go, right, you see that they have the speech online and it's live. And the board members of the masjid, they always, you know, they ask me to encourage the people to come to the masjid. Because they're saying that, listen, because it's live online, they're at home listening to the majlis. And they're at home listening to the majlis, they don't come here. Right? This is Muharram, right? So I said, alright, you know what, you know, okay, you know, I need to explain that also. Because this is something that has happened. We need to understand what this Islamic center is. What is this? You see, if someone dies in your house, I'm your friend. If someone dies in your house, now would I come to your house to give you condolences? Or I'm just going to call you and say, or email you, hey, listen, you know, I'm sorry about that, but I can't come to your house, but hey, you know, I'm sorry. You'll be like, my father died, and we did everything, and you're not even here, and you live right next door. And you don't even attend my house, or you didn't even approach me in my house, right? I mean, if you want to give condolences, you go to the house of the person. This is the same thing that when we are commemorating the Shahadat of Imam Hussain, then in order to give condolences of Imam Hussain to the Imam of your time, you go to the house of the Imam Mahdi. This is his house. This is where you come to give condolences. This is where you come to give that I give condolences for the death of your grandfather. Your grandfather died today, I'm here in this masjid. This is your house. My house is different. Yes, I will use my house for your purpose, but this is assigned as your house. This is Allah's house. This is where you come. Right? To give condolences, my friend. So understand the importance of this center. Understand the importance of the masjid. Right? Do not take out animosity on the house of Allah because you have personal problems with someone else. This is Shaitan's path. This is exactly what Allah is saying. Shaitan had a problem with Adam, but he's taking it out on the children of Adam. Children didn't do anything to you, but you see, this is Shaitan's way of revenge. Salawat ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Now, what we want to speak about today, right, is now about Shaitan. We need to know where he lives and how he misguides. Because one of the things that is very apparent in the Quran is that Shaitan is not hiding any secrets. Allah has revealed all his secrets. Meaning Shaitan himself in the Quran has revealed all his secrets. Where he lives, how he misguides, what he does. Now, really my friends, understand this. If you want to play a trick on someone, if you want to trick someone, then the best way for that trick to work is not to let the person know you're tricking him. Right? For example, if you want to put a sign on someone's back saying, kick me, that trick won't work if you're going to tell him, hey, listen, I'm going to put a sign on your back saying, kick me. Right? He'd be like, alright. Why do you want to let you do it? Imagine that. If you want to trick someone, I mean, you don't inform him you're doing it. You don't reveal your plan to him. You keep it a secret so the trick will work. But you see that Shaitan is revealing all his tricks. It's not that he's hiding his tricks or deception. He's telling you how he's going to deceive you. You see, my friends, this is something that we need to understand. In other words, you know, the only person you would say that you're going to do this trick to and still play the trick on him is someone that you think is so weak, so harmless, so unable that you can tell him, listen, I'm going to play this trick on you and play it on him and still it will work. In other words, when Shaitan is revealing all his plans and he's saying how he's going to misguide you, Shaitan is saying that my opinion of you, human beings, is so low that I can show you and tell you that I'm going to misguide you and still misguide you. This is what I think about you. And Shaitan thinks we are so dumb, so weak, that he can tell us how to misguide us and still misguide us. Friends, this is a challenge from Shaitan. This is a challenge from Shaitan. Shaitan is saying, I'm telling you what I'm going to do and still it's going to work. Still you'll be misguided. Imagine that. And here we are. He's revealing everything and still we are being misguided. This, my friends, understand what it means. What this means is that Shaitan is challenging us. So we should also be up to the challenge. We should also be up to the challenge and say, hey, wait a minute. Now I know how you're going to misguide me. At least I won't be misguided by that. This is a challenge for us that we need to stand up to. And if he misguides us, then it really means that we are not just weak and incapable, but we are really stupid that we know that we're going to be misguided like this and still he's playing the trick on us. So now, we need to first of all find out, and he himself, and we have to see where is Shaitan. You need to know where he lives. And Shaitan gave his address in the Quran. You want to know where he lives? He gives his address in the Quran. He tells you where he lives, where he's going to be. And he says, if you want to come and meet me, that's where I am. You want to know where he lives? You see, when Shaitan was leaving, so they asked him, hey, listen, you said you're going to misguide the people. Yes. How are you going to misguide them? And so he answers that. He says, فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي. He answers to Allah. Allah asks him, how are you going to misguide them? How are you going to misguide the people? Now just listen to the answer of Shaitan. He says, فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي. قَالَ فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي. He says to Allah, just like you misguided me. He's speaking to Allah now. And he's telling Allah, just like you misguided me, I will misguide the people. He's telling Allah, you misguided me, you made me wrong, you made me go astray, and just like that, I'm going to make them go astray. Now, the question is to Shaitan, just a simple interview we should have with Shaitan, an interrogation, let's put it that way. Wait a minute. When did Allah misguide you? How did Allah misguide you? What did Allah do to you? I mean, did Allah stop you from making sajda that you want to go on sajda but he was holding you up? No. Allah didn't force you not to make sajda. Allah didn't force you not to prostrate. So, what's wrong with you? Why are you saying that? That Allah misguided you? I mean, it's your fault, right? I mean, it's Shaitan's fault. You had the choice. You didn't make sajda. You didn't prostrate. You didn't listen to Allah. It's your fault. It's, for example, a son. You know, a little kid. Your own kid. And you tell him that, listen, do your homework. Now, you go away and you see that the kid has been playing Xbox all the while. And you come back and say, I told you to do your homework. Why didn't you do your homework? He said, because I was playing games, it's better for me. Huh? Okay, so now if I'm going to punish you, right? If I'm going to ground you, now if you turn around, if that kid turns around and says, you know what, it's your fault. What do you mean my fault? How is it my fault? You were told to do something and you didn't do it. It's your fault. You are the one to blame for it. So if you are grounded, it's your fault. If you are punished, it's your fault. So shaitan didn't make sajda and he's blaming Allah for it. He's blaming Allah for it. Just hear, my friends, the third point. Shaitan is telling us the third quality of shaitan. What is this quality? Is that when he makes a mistake, it's his mistake. I made the sin. I did wrong. But I'm going to blame Allah for it. Blaming someone else for your mistakes, blaming someone else for your own mistakes, this is shaitan's quality. This is shaitan's quality. Shaitan's quality is that he makes the mistake. He doesn't do sajda. He has sinned. He has done masiyah. But then he blames Allah. That it's Allah who did it. It's Allah who did it. Now you understand the third quality of shaitan. It is his fault, but he's blaming someone else. Now that quality of shaitan, it came into the people. He taught that to the people. And said that, listen, this is the best quality for you. And you see that. And you know where it came from, and you will see that. And I will explain this to you with simply salawats.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
My friends, how many Muslims do you have met who believe in predestination? That Allah has written everything down. Whatever we do is done by the will of Allah. How many of us do that? You know, for example, you know, I did something wrong to someone else. I say, oh, it's written. What is written has to be done. Okay. Alright, so I mean, I hit you and I say, hey, it's Allah who's hitting you. And then in order to justify their belief, they get ayat in the Quran and says that you don't hit, it's Allah that's hit. You don't throw, but it's Allah that's thrown. That when you throw something, it's not you who throw it, it's Allah who throws. So now, based on these ayat, they say, well, you see, it is Allah who does these things to us. So if I'm doing wrong, it's not me, it's Allah who's doing it. You see, predestination is a belief of the majority of Muslims. They believe in predestination, that it's Allah who's making me do it. You know, there's that incident of Bahlul. You remember with Abu Hanifa, right? Where Abu Hanifa used to teach. And he said that, you know, Allah, mean, you know, there are certain things. He said that, you know what? I mean, Allah, he cannot be seen. Right? You know, for example, you know, that Allah can be seen. You know, anything unseen cannot exist. And through that, shaitan, right? He cannot be hurt in the fire because he's made up of fire. If he's thrown into fire, he won't be hurt because it's made up of fire. And then third is that whatever we do, it's Allah who has written it down. So it's Allah who makes us do it. Okay. Bahlul heard that speech, and so he gave him an answer. And his answer was very simple. He took a rock and threw it at his head. He picked up a rod and threw it at his head. And Abu Hanifa was in pain. And then, you know, they arrested Bahlul, and, you know, obviously they went to the Islamic court, Harun Rashid. Because Bahlul was related to Harun Rashid, they can't do anything to them, so they had to go to Harun Rashid and say, hey, listen, this guy, you know, he hit Abu Hanifa. He said, no, I didn't. He says, okay. Then he asked Abu Hanifa, what's your proof? He asked Abu Hanifa, what's your proof that I hit you? He says, you know, I have pain. He said, where is it? I can't see it. It's there. He said, but you said, if it's not seen, it can't be there. Abu Hanifa was like, what are you talking about? He said, then you thought that Shaitan is made up of fire. If he goes into fire, that won't hurt him, because fire cannot hurt fire. He says, you're made up of dirt. The stone is made up of dirt. So how can dirt hurt dirt? Okay, you know what? And then, even if I did do it, you said it's Allah who makes us do it. So don't blame me, blame Allah for it. In other words, he disproved them with one simple throw of a rock. You see? Predestination is the belief of how many Muslims? Everyone says, oh, Allah has written down everything we do. And then what? So what is the reality of predestination? It means that we are the ones who sin. We are the ones who do wrong. We are the ones who make mistakes and do masiyah, and we are blaming Allah and saying Allah is the one who's doing it. Allah is the one who's doing it. Now tell me, did Shaitan do the same thing? He said, he didn't make sajda, but he's saying, Allah, you misguided me. You are the one who did it. Just like that, those who believe in predestination are saying that we didn't do the sin, it's Allah who's doing it. So they're blaming Allah for their own mistakes and their own faults. Understand that? This is Shaitan's quality that he has infused in people. This is his quality that he has infused in people. And then Allah also has a smart answer for them. You know, because these people, they blamed Allah for all the sins they did. Now Allah, on the day of judgment, will catch them. Those who believe in predestination. Those who believe in qada and qadar. If you believe in that, then Allah has a simple answer for you. On the day of judgment, when you will be raised, and you made all your prayer, mashallah, you had a long beard, and you made so many prayers, and tahajjud, and fasting, and so many things you have done. In fact, you use miswak all the time. Right? You're using miswak all the time and doing all the good deeds. So now when you look at your amal, no prayers, no fasting, not even miswak. Ya Allah, what is this? There's no fasting here. I fasted all my life. I did miswak all my life. I was praying all my life. Where did all that go? I did all that. So Allah will tell him, liar. He said, why? I did it. He said, no, you didn't do it. I did it. What do you mean you did it? Allah, I did it. No. So when you sinned, you said, I did it. And now when you want the reward for your actions, you're saying, you did it. He said, that can't work. If you want the reward of your actions, then accept the credit. If you want the credit for the good deeds you do, then also accept the blame for the bad things you do. If you blame Allah for the bad deeds, Allah also wants to take credit for the good deeds also. You won't get any credit. So anyone who blames Allah for the bad things they have done, Allah will take the credit for the good things also. Understand this? Allah will tell them, you're a liar. You lie. Why? Because you in your whole life said, it's Allah who's making me do it. So now when I say, okay, I made you pray, I made you fast, so I'll take the credit for it. Why should I give it to you? Why should I give it to you? My friends, understand this. This is how Allah will get back at them. Shaitan's quality, first thing he said, فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي, just like you have misguided me. He blames Allah for his own actions. This is Shaitan's quality. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
And then after he says that, he gives his address. He says, if these people want to know where I live, I'll let them know my address. فبما أغويتني لأقعدن لهم صراط المستقيم. He says, you want to know where I live? He says, I will wait for them. I live on your sirat mustaqim. This is Shaitan's home. Shaitan's home is sirat mustaqim. He says, I will sit for them on sirat mustaqim. That's where I'll sit. You want to find me? You won't find me here and there. You'll find me wherever sirat mustaqim is. Wherever the right path is, that's where you will find me. My friends, understand this. Shaitan does not go to bars. He does not go to clubs. He does not go to any place where there is evil. He doesn't need to. Those people have done the job for him. Why would he go and waste his time there? He's smarter than that. He did say that, you want to find me, I'm at the bar next to your house. Shaitan doesn't go to bars. Shaitan doesn't go to clubs. It's the foolish people who are misguided, they go there. Shaitan has nothing to do with those foolish people. He said, they're gone, they're going to hell. He says, لَأَقُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. I will be on صِرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. I will wait for them there. Shaitan is wherever you find Sirat al-Mustaqim. That is where Shaitan is. That is where Shaitan is. He says, you want to find me, you'll meet me there. So, when you go to bars, you'll never see Shaitan. When you go to clubs, you'll never see Shaitan. But when you come to the Islamic Center, he'll be waiting for you at the door. Yeah, he's there at the door. He's greeting everyone who comes in. Yes, come on in. Because it is those people who come to Sirat al-Mustaqim that threaten him. Those who come to Sirat al-Mustaqim, wherever Haq is being told, wherever the truth is being told, that's where he sits. He doesn't want you to come here. That's why you see he's waiting here for you. And you see, satanic habits, they usually happen in the Islamic Center. Because that's where he is. If you go to bars, you'll see everyone is ready to share their drink. Right? Everyone's ready to share their everything. They'll be like, hey man, come on, because they all want to be part of evil. They have no problem sharing. It's when you come to the center, that's where the problem starts. That's where he is to misguide people. Right? When you come to the center, a lot of masjids you'll see this. Maybe not here, maybe other places. You have your own examples, and I'll just give you some examples so you understand this. When you come to the masjid, the issue is not the prayer. That's what I pray. The issue is, which line am I praying? Where do I stand in prayer? That if I have to pray, I have to be in the first line. It does happen like that. There's one person who always used to pray in the first line. Every time he would be right behind the imam and the mukabbir and Allahu Akbar and this and that. He would always be there. And for years he was doing that. And one day he was late. He was late and he happened to be in the third, fourth line. And then he came to the imam and said, you know what? I didn't feel like it was prayer today. I'm used to staying in the first line. I was in the third, fourth line. I didn't feel good today. It doesn't matter if you're in the first line or the third line. You're praying for Allah. This thought that is in his mind. Who gave it to him? Did Allah give him this thought? Or did Shaitan give it to him? You see, it's Shaitan who's welcoming people. Come here, I'll show you what to do. Right? Now, for example, when we have Latmiya. Right? When we have Latmiya, for example, you'll see. You're reciting Latmiya for Imam Hussain. You're reciting Latmiya for Hazrat Zahra. So the question is, who's going to read first? Because he has the most audience, right? Who's going to read first? And all the argument and fighting is about that. Who's going to read first? If you read first or third, you're doing it for Allah. You're doing it for Imam Hussain. It doesn't matter. He said, no, there are more people listening to me. Who's putting this in your mind? Is this Allah who's putting this in your mind? Or is it Shaitan who's putting this in your mind? Now understand this. This is how it happens. This is what happens. You see, this is where Shaitan comes in. destroys the ibadah that you are going to do. You are going to pray, Allah is going to reward you for it. You are going to read laqmiya, Allah is going to reward you for it. But because you did it for the people, you lose the reward. Who is making you do it for the people and not Allah? The shaitan, who's welcoming you, to come here. Happens that way, my brothers. Understand this. This is where shaitan comes. This is his job. That's where he stands. Anything that has to do with haq, you will see shaitan is there. Many things. He misguides us a lot of times, you see. You know, for example, you know, they have, you know, let's say, you know, we have iftar. This is the imam's house. I told you, it's the imam's house. Now we have iftar. Now, for example, they have a certain amount of bread. They say one bread each. Like one hoops each. Now, for example, you see some people I have seen back home and here and there, Muslim countries, you know that. For example, there was a rule, okay, one person each take this as a butter, right? One bread, take it, one bread each, whoever attends the majlis. So what happens is that there are some smart people, you know, who go and take one, hide it, and get back in the line again. Right? And they go and take another one. He takes one. Now we all took one, and my friend, he took two. And then after he comes out, he said, ha, you see, I got two. Brother, but only one was allowed. Only one was allowed. Why do you take two for? He says, it's all right. It's not theirs, it's the imam's. So what does that mean? It's allowed to steal from the imam? It's allowed to steal from the imam? I mean, the thing is that if the imam, well, it means that there's rules behind it. If the rule was one each, then you take one each. You can't take two. So you say, oh, it's all right. These people, these mullahs, you know, they make up these rules. Oh, Allah, you know, he's alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. What kind of Islam is this? Who's teaching him this? Is this Allah who put this thought in his mind? Or is it shaitan who's putting this thought in his mind? And these are the people. You'll see this. These are the people that when they, for example, they got used to taking from the imam so much. Right? They got used to taking from the imam so much, they want it easy. You see, a lot of times, this is one example I'll give you now. Another example is what? You know, and this is something that Muslims and mu'mineen are guilty of so many times. They don't even realize it, but they take the money of the imam and they eat it, and they're happy with it. They're happy with it. For example, you see this, where is that? When your year ends and you have to pay khums. Khums is the money of the imam. It's not your money. But you see how many people eat it. They got used to eating it. And they're saying, listen, this is the imam's money. These mullahs ask for it all the time. What are they going to do with it, mullahs? They're going to eat it and feed themselves. The issue is, it's not about them. It's the imam's money that you have to give. It's not yours. Khums is not yours, it's the imam's money. You have to give that. So what happens? We have gotten used to eating the imam's money so much. Eating the imam's money so much that it for us it become easy now. If we eat an extra bread or if we eat khums, it has become easy. You know, and you say, alhamdulillah, we love the imam. We love the imam, but we eat his wealth. We eat his stuff. We eat his maal. We are taking his maal. So what happened? Who's putting this thought in the mind? It's shaitan who's doing it. Allah is not teaching you to do it. Ahlul Bayt did not teach you to do it. Then who made you do it? It's Allah who's doing it. And we blame. Right? We take this. We've gotten used to it so much. Now tell me. There's only one example I see in history of people who accepted Imam Ali, but they took his wealth. There's only one example I saw of someone accepting the imam and saying that yes, you are the imam, but taking his wealth. They accepted Ali by saying, Bakhin, Bakhin, Ya Ali. On the day of Ghadir, they accepted him and said, you are our Imam and the Imam of all the Muslims. But then, we will take your wealth, what Allah gave to you, we'll take it away from you. So those people began this. And if we are doing it, then we are not following the Sunnah of Ahlul Bayt, we are following the Sunnah of Shaykhain. It is the Shaykhain who said, Ali, we accept you as the Imam, and then at the same time stole your wealth. This is their habit. This is the habit of Shaitan. My friend, this Shaitan who's putting this thought in mind. So where does Shaitan go? Where is Shaitan? Shaitan is on Sirat-e-Mustaqim. He's on Sirat-e-Mustaqim. Remember, whenever you want to do right, Shaitan will be there for you. And when you are doing it, that's where your test will begin. Really, I want to just give you one more example so you understand this very well. Send me salawats.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
My friends, in all the city, in Islamic law, the way cities are made, in the whole city, I told you, the masjid is the best place to pray. Right? Masjid is the best place to pray. And when you pray in the masjid, and the whole city, the masjid is the best place for you to offer prayer. And when you pray in the masjid, the best place in the masjid is called mihrab. Mihrab, that is this thing over here that you have, mihrab, the enclave where person prays. This is the best place to pray. That's why it is said that because this is the best place in the city, in the land of the city, then the best person in the city should stand there in the mihrab. The Imam who's there, he should be the best one, the most knowledgeable one, the most muttaqi one, he should be the one standing there. Now understand this. All the things, and why? Because that is where all the attention is. That's the mihrab, it's called mihrab. Allah, I just have one issue with that. One issue. He says, ibadat is a peaceful thing. Ibadat is a peaceful thing. It's for amn, it's for salama, it is for, you know, peace and harmony. When you pray, you're at peace. Allah, in the masjid, in the best place to pray in the masjid, you call it mihrab. Those who are Arabs know what mihrab is. Mihrab is from the word harb. Harb means war. This is a place of war. Mihrab literally means the place of war, battlefield. It means battlefield. Allah, ibadat is for peace and harmony, for peace. Ibadat is for that. Why are you calling this mihrab? You should name it something else. You should call it something else. Some nice name, some peaceful name. Why are you calling it a battlefield? Why are you calling it mihrab? Because Allah wants to let you know that when you're outside of ibadat, doing something else, that is something else. But when you're in ibadat, then understand this ideology very well, that once you say Allahu Akbar and get into your prayer, that is when the battle starts between you and Shaitan. That is the battle that starts between you and Shaitan. You are in a battlefield now. It is you versus Shaitan. Shaitan is trying to take your mind away from Allah. Your job is to keep your mind on the prayer. This is where the battle starts. Allah calls it mihrab to let us know that it is ibadah. It is Sirat-e-Mustaqim where you have to be worried about Shaitan. You have to be worried about him in these places. This is how Allah gives the example so we know what it stands for. It is in prayers where you have to battle with Shaitan. Inshallah, we will explain more on how he misguides, but this is just few things of where Shaitan lives and how he misguides. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right path. Give us the wisdom to understand his guidance. Hasten the reappearance of our Imam and make us his helper when he comes. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Any questions? Everything is becoming clear. No questions? Very good. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah.